Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this program is to encourage God's people daily through God's Word. The message you're about to hear is based on Scripture that will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you're tuning in today, and it's my prayer that you'll be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and your support. May God richly bless you today.
You know, a lot of Christians have lost the ability to stay unified, whether it's in our relationships at home, at work, at church, or in the community. Scripture instructs us to function as a team, to support one another, and to work together toward a common goal. That's why we are in a series entitled Striving Together. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is designed to encourage Christians to work together as a team, to see people's lives transformed and the work of God accomplished. Right now, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 20 and discuss how we can strive together faithfully for the Lord. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
It is still needed today that we would publish the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because my friend, if Jesus Christ is your Savior, He will be your protector, your rock, your shield, and your salvation. You won't need to ask the Lady of Guadalupe to protect you when you know Jesus is your Savior, you see. And so we strive together with this purpose to publish the glad tidings that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And Lancaster Baptist Church, we're marching into this year together in our purpose. But notice secondly, Paul and Barnabas were not only together in their purpose, but I want you to think of this with me. They were together in their persecution. I don't want to be pessimistic, but if you decide to march on for Jesus this year, if you decide to publish the good words of God this year, there will come days when people will not always be kind to you. There will be difficulties that come. And in this part of our message, we see that the Apostle Paul, despite his glorious mission, he was misunderstood, he was persecuted, he was stoned and left outside the city because of his faith for Jesus Christ. How did that happen? Let's take a look at it. Notice, first of all, there is a demonstration of God's power at Lystra. The demonstration of God's power. Now, the Bible tells us in verse number 8, there was a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And I want you to just take a moment to let that sink in. Sometimes we hear about so-called faith healers. By the way, if there is a faith healer alive on the planet today, I wish they'd go to every hospital and get busy. Now, we believe that Jesus can heal. Don't misunderstand me. We believe the apostles had been given this power from the Lord himself. But we're not talking about someone who threw away their cane for an hour and had to pick it back up after the crusade. We're not talking about someone who was healed from something you couldn't substantiate. Look at what it says about this man. He was impotent in his feet. He was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked. In three different ways, the Holy Spirit says, this man had a real kind of a problem. But the Bible then says that when he heard Paul speak, Paul perceived his faith, and he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," verse 10, and the man leaped and walked. And so we see here a demonstration of real power from God. Now, while we do not possess miraculous powers for healing today, there is an application. And the application is that all of us need God's power in our life and ministry, whether it's soul winning, whether it's parenting, whether it's serving God. Every one of us need to pray for a measure of the power of God to serve Him. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." My friend, I thank God that I serve a God who can do anything but fail. And that He has great power today to restore marriages, to build churches, to do his work in this era. I heard about a young boy that got on an airplane and he sat down next to a seminary professor. The young boy had his Sunday school notes in his lap, and the seminary professor looked at that and he thought he'd have a little fun. And he said to the boy, he said, "Son," he said, "if you can tell me one thing that God can do, I'll give you a shiny red apple." The little boy thought about it. He looked up at the man and he said, "Sir," he said, "if you can tell me something that God can't do, I'll give you a whole basket of apples." He was a young man persuaded of the power of his God. By the way, sometimes our children convict us because they believe God can do anything. And my friends, God can do anything. And we must rely on his power in ministry in 2011. The demonstration of God's power. Well, the man was completely healed. But I want you to notice, secondly, the deflection of false worship. Now, something really weird happens. And stick with me and follow with me in the Bible. Look at what happens. Verse 11. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Now, remember a minute ago, I said that the people at Lystra and in the first century were very superstitious. They worshiped the pagan gods, Zeus, Apollo. They worshiped in these temples made with stones of man's hands. And so apparently there was some folklore at Lystra that the gods of Zeus and Hermes would come down to them incognito, and that they were to be watching all the time for these gods to arrive. And so the Bible says they supposed Barnabas was Jupiter and Paul was Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And these people come and they begin to worship Paul. In fact, notice it says in verse 13, they brought oxen and garlands to the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Here we see false worship ascribed. They're going, "Wow, they healed this man. Let's worship Paul and worship Barnabas." But notice, if you will, false worship rejected. Verse number 14, the Bible says, "Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God.'" Now listen very carefully. If Paul wanted, and if Barnabas wanted a life of ease, they could have had it at Lystra. They could have stopped right there and said, "Barnabas, look at this. They think we're gods. They're bringing us food. They're worshiping us. Maybe they'll give us everything we'd ever wanted." If that was what motivated them, they could have had it made, because these superstitious people thought these guys were like pagan gods. But there was something much more important to the Apostle Paul and Barnabas as they were striving together. The thing that was more important was that they would be faithful to the truth of the Word of God. And so when they saw what was going on, they rent their clothing, which was a Jewish sign of rejection of what was happening. And they said, "We will not take this worship and we will not take your praise." And they deflected the praise back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Humbly, they continued serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." And he said to them, "You must turn from your vanity." Why? Because any religion without Christ is a vain, empty religion. And so it was. The demonstration of God's power was real. The man was healed. The deflection of praise was real. They said, "Don't worship us, worship Creator God." But notice thirdly, the danger of preaching Christ. Remember being together in persecution? I want you to see what happens here to Paul in verse 19. An amazing turn of events. Acts 14, 19, please. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium," those were the earlier cities on the journey, "who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." Now, please put this in your mind. The same people who were saying, "Oh, Paul and Barnabas, you're the great hope and you're the great healers, and bring the calf and bring the garland." The same people who were worshiping now are picking up rocks because some troublemakers came, and now they're stoning the Apostle Paul and leaving him outside the city for dead. These Facebook friends who were curious but not really loving the man, who were curious but not really loving the Lord. When the time came, they were easily turned. And I want you to recognize in your Christian life, don't be discouraged from time to time as you're trying to live for the Lord. If sometimes people that you thought were your friends will not be your friends like they once were, especially because you are trying to stand for the Lord. For the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What a tragic moment. The Apostle Paul, who was just trying to preach the gospel, is taken now, and rock by rock, his bones are breaking. The blood is coming out. He's thrown outside of the city. They left him there. They thought he was dead. And I might tell you that that was the way of many Christians in the first century. Some of you have heard of Titus. Have you ever read the book of Titus in the New Testament? Titus was a preacher boy, if you will, of the Apostle Paul. Titus was sent to the island of Crete, one of the southernmost islands of Greece. And as he was sent there, Paul said, Titus, I want you to set in order the things that are wanting. I want you to take care of the churches there. And so Titus went and he preached and preached and preached. And he preached there until 105 AD. He died at the age of 94, a faithful preacher of the Word of God. Well, some years later, in fact, about 146 years later, a man by the name of Trajan Decius was sent from Rome. He was to be the governor over Crete, and as he went in as a Roman appointed governor to the island of Crete, he made an edict for the suppression of Christianity. And he said to the bishops or pastors at Crete, he said, I want every one of you to come and make a sacrifice to the emperor of Rome. And so these men, the second generation descendants of Titus, they were called to make sacrifice to Rome. And listen, they refused to make sacrifice to Rome as men of God. And for that, they were martyred. And to this day, you can read the history of Crete and you'll read about the 10 insurmountable martyrs who gave their lives for Jesus Christ. And those from the Byzantine era during the third and fourth centuries wrote concerning these martyrs, and they said this: Titus produced a church that did not melt. When those men were facing martyrdom, all they had to do was offer sacrifice to the Roman emperor. They said, we will not bow down to the Roman emperor. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave their lives rather than give up the truth. And they stood faithfully together as they were striving for the faith. By the way, do you know that there are people on this planet today paying a similar price? State Department official Philip Crowley said this past week, we are deeply concerned about the rise of violence against Christians in Africa and the Middle East. It doesn't get enough news, but the fact is, Christians are persecuted every day on this planet. Persecution.com reported Iran has arrested a number of missionaries and vowed to detain more of them. Apparently, according to Sharia law, if someone converts from Islam, they are punished by death for turning to Jesus Christ and away from Mohammed. And every day in the world in which we live, people who simply want to follow Jesus Christ are being persecuted. I just want to remind you that sometimes living for Jesus is not as easy as we'd like it to be. And isn't it embarrassing how little it takes for some Christians in America to be discouraged when it comes to serving God? I don't think any of you have ever been stoned. I don't know that any of you have ever had a rock even thrown at you. I know very few people have ever been fired for being a Christian. I'm simply saying today that if we would stop and think about it, yes, some trials and persecutions come, but let's remember to pray for those who are really suffering for their faith this morning. Paul and Barnabas were together in their purpose. They were together when the persecution came. Notice thirdly, they were together in their persistence. Together in their persistence. Would you notice this in verse 20? One of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed and with Barnabas to Derbe. Now notice, first of all, they were together around him. Try to put the picture in your mind. Over here, outside the city, is Paul the Apostle laying under a pile of rocks. They thought he was dead. Now, a tiny band of believers, the church of Lystra, primitive as they were, nevertheless believers in Jesus Christ, they gather round. And history records that Timothy was from Lystra, and probably one of the first things Timothy ever saw about ministry was a man lying in a pool of blood. There they were, ladies and men and teenage boys like Timothy, looking and thinking he was dead. By the way, thank God for Christians who care for other Christians. Thank God that if he would have died, he wouldn't have died alone. Thank God for Christians who pray for one another, who pray for their pastor, who pray for missionaries, who care to be around when they are needed. Thank God somebody was there. And they gathered around him. They were together around him. But notice, secondly, they were together with him. Barnabas was there. The early church was there. And I want you to see something amazing in verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. Would you say that with me, please? He rose up. Say it again. He rose up. He rose up. The Bible says he rose up and he came into the city. Amazing. The fact, first of all, that he rose up. Amazing. I perhaps can hear Timothy as he speaks to his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, and he says, I think I see his hand moving. I think I see his foot moving. Mom, he's rising up. He's standing up. I want to tell you, friends, some of you this morning had a tough year in 2010, and the finances got you down, and friends perhaps hurt you, and difficulties came. And truth of the matter is, though you're here this morning, you're laying down in a rock pile somewhere, and it's time to get up. Paul rose up. If that's all he had done, I would have been amazed. But I want you to see, secondly, he rose up, and the Bible says he came into the city. Listen, friends, we cannot be afraid of confrontation. We cannot be afraid of trouble when it comes, or someone that's mean to us when we witness. Paul went right back to Lystra, right back to his persecutors, and he went right back to preaching the word of God. God, give us some men in this room with some grit in their craw and some convictions in their heart who will not cower and who will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And I just want to praise God this morning that the man got up and that he went back to doing what he was supposed to doing. And I want to challenge some of you this morning, get out of your rock pile, get out of your pity pile, get up and get back to being the godly husband and the godly wife and the godly Sunday school class member and care group leader and soul winner, or whatever it is that God has called you to do. Don't lay in a pile of rocks this year. Get up and get back to doing what you're supposed to do. Learn something from these people of the first century who were striving together with one purpose, who were striving together when persecution came. Oh, they would not quit. They were striving together with persistency. I want you to see something else. I told you it's an amazing verse. Verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and he came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Amazing. Amazing. Try to get the picture in your mind. From Lystra to Derbe was 40 miles. I mean, 12 hours from having been laying in a rock pile, no doubt broken bones, no doubt bleeding. Now he's going to walk 40 miles. Why? Because Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And my friend, the best way to answer your critic is to accomplish your task. And what your critic wants to do and your enemy wants you to do and the devil wants you to do is just lay down on those rocks and never rear your head again. But thank God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he got up, he kept preaching, and the next day he went 40 miles to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. And what was he doing as he was out there with those Christians? He was doing what I'm trying to do this morning. Look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. Notice this. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. By the way, how many of you think the Apostle Paul was qualified to say that? No one was going to come up to him, well, you just don't understand, Paul, my husband's very mean. It's hard to say that to a man who's bleeding. Hard to say that to a guy that's just been stoned, to tell him that you've got it harder than he's got it. You don't understand, Paul, my wife's not very supportive. I think that perhaps just looking at Paul, all of our little problems would go away. I don't think anybody would say, well, Paul, I have a very hard boss, and if I even try to pray, he's going to fire me. I don't think there would be one excuse that would stand before him, much less someday before Jesus Christ. He just went around encouraging them to be faithful. Acts 18:23 describes it this way. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country, Galatia and Phrygia, in order, strengthening all the disciples, doing everything he could to strengthen and to encourage them. And I want to challenge you this morning that we would strive together with one purpose, to preach the gospel, to publish glad tidings, that we would strive together when persecution comes, saying, hey, don't give up, get up out of the rubble. Hey, don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your teenager. Don't give up on soul winning. Don't give up on church. Hey, when the persecution comes, the church needs to be the church and help people back in, you see. And then we need to be persistent. When those rocks are flying, when the days are hard, some of us need to just get up and keep on going and do what we know God has called us to do. I like how Paul wrote about this as I close, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure, speaking of Jesus and the gospel, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that's you and me, that the excellency of the power, that's what I spoke about a moment ago, may be of God and not of us. You see, the great thing about the Christian life is not me, it's Him. We have the treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Paul said, hey, if I'm suffering, if someone's hitting me, beating me, but Jesus is seen through me, then praise the Lord, because I'm just an earthen vessel. His power is what really counts. Family, with your church family, with your Sunday school class, with your local church, that we would strive together for the purpose of the gospel, that we would strive together when persecution comes, and that we would strive together with persistency, being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ until we see Him again.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Striving Together. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. You can also visit lancasterbaptist.org for a list of other services. Pastor Chappell has a new book now available entitled Out of Commission. You'd be hard-pressed to meet a dedicated Christian who doesn't say the greatest work on earth is evangelization. This book is an invitation to examine why we don't witness for Christ as we should, why our local churches are neglecting evangelization and discipleship, and how we can get back to making Christ's last command our first priority. Written for every Christian who desires to obey the Great Commission of Christ, this comprehensive volume is motivational and practical. Whether you are new to evangelism or an experienced Christian, Out of Commission will challenge and equip you to share your faith and more effectively reach your community for Christ. You can find out more about this book, Out of Commission, when you visit dailyintheword.org.
Stress, fear, anxiety, perfectionism. We all carry burdens, sometimes personal, sometimes for others. From the heart of Pastor Paul Chappell comes a modern-day allegory refreshingly woven through scriptural truths. We who know the burden bearer need to let him carry our loads. Follow the story of a lifter who laid his burdens down. Discover how to cast your cares on Jesus and serve joyfully in his yoke. Gain perspective. Discover strength. Increase your faith. Release your load. The Burden Bearer by Paul Chappell, available through Striving Together Publications.
We realize sometimes interruptions can happen when you listen to these studies, but you can hear what you missed by going to our website at dailyintheword.org. Today's full broadcast is available there. In fact, you can even download an MP3 and listen at your own convenience. Either way, it's free of charge. We hope that you'll remember it's your support that keeps these studies coming your way. I encourage you to jumpstart your day with inspirational messages from Pastor Paul Chappell.
Sign up now and receive daily devotionals emailed directly to your inbox. Whether you are home, at the office, or on the go, make God's Word a part of your day. You'll be encouraged, challenged, and energized to grow in your relationship with God every morning. Visit dailyintheword.org and register for your free daily devotionals from Pastor Chapel today. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Or you can visit our website at dailyintheword.org and click on the Truth About Eternity link. We would love to hear from you as a listener and know that Daily in the Word is touching your life. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org. There you'll find links to Pastor Chapel's newest resources, his blog posts, recent podcasts, and many other resources that will encourage you in your spiritual growth. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.